Praise the Lord, and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's very thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious brothers and sisters everywhere, and ask your continued prayers for me, as they are appreciated. The broadcasts and the daily bread are always a blessing and very much needed. And thank you for all the good, edifying preaching of Jesus, Brother Rice, with the love and joy you always have for the Lord. Just keep on preaching, as the saints do need you. And may the Lord help the saints to stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come is my prayer. May the Lord bless you all, and Maranatha.
Lord, thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for another day. Thank you, Lord, for thy great salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for all of your precious promises, exceeding great. Thank you for this present time. Help us now, Lord God, to glorify you in our bodies and our spirits, which are yours, to yield to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, to glorify you, O God. Help me to speak as the oracles of God. We would give you the glory always. We pray always for your kingdom come, your will to be done. We present our bodies, Lord God, have thine own way. Work out your perfect will and good pleasure. We know this to be a special day. We are special people. We know this by the same word. So we know that you've begun a good work in us. I believe that you will finish that work. So as we hold to your word, Lord God, and all of your promises, as we yield to the working and moving of your Spirit, Lord God, let us come together with one accord. We would glorify you with in our bodies with one mouth, serve you with one consent, O God. We would be wholly thine. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Come on in, saints. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. It was my Savior's blood. It was my Savior's blood. It was my Savior's blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. It was my Savior's blood. It was my Savior's blood. It was my Savior's blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
What an amazing thing, huh? The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shed for me? Oh, can it really be that the blood of Jesus was shed for me? Oh, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Hallelujah. Oh, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Hallelujah. Of course, our enemies are not after the flesh. Praise God. Our adversary is, thank you, Lord, like our weapons. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, help us, Lord, to war a good warfare. We have to keep that foremost in our minds, to war a good warfare. Because the things after the flesh are distractions. Thank you, Lord. And we have victory and power over them. That's what I'm here to tell you. Thank you, Lord. Here's what the God that called you said. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. No weapon at all. Praise the Lord. No weapon. That means in Christ we are invincible. Only in Christ, though. Praise the Lord. So as we, you know, consider that really in our heart, it brings forth that joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can look at any time, any place, and know that I'm here. I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get out. But the one who called me promised that it won't prevail against me. See? Hallelujah. Now, we're always in such a situation. God intends for it to be. But we go back to the scripture. He who have begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's been my experience. You know, out of every affliction he have delivered me. I believe that he'll deliver us out of this one as well. Hallelujah. Where are we now? Well, we're in Christ. Ain't that good? Not by our own doing. It is our testimony. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I had a few tell me that they want to testify. That's always encouraging. You know, in my mind, I think that every day we ought to be pushing each other out of the way. No, let me testify. No, let me testify. That's how I see it. Or, no, let me praise him. No, let me praise him. But praise the Lord. He's worthy. Huh? We do overcome by our testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. What I'm doing now is testifying. Anytime we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, we testify. We testify who he is, what we know of him, how he's revealed himself unto us. Because everybody don't know him. We are witnesses that God is God. You know, somewhere, God has made somebody believe that he saved them, that he's delivered them. We're those witnesses. Hallelujah. Ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I'm God. That's what it says. So that's what I believe about us. I believe that we are his witnesses because the Bible says so. We want to be faithful witnesses. In all that God commits to us, we want to be faithful. Faithful stewards, huh? Faithful servants, faithful to our God in all things. The God who called us is faithful. So we can hold fast our profession. Huh? Hold fast our profession. Or the profession of our faith. Or he is faithful that called us. Hallelujah. Yeah, he will sanctify us wholly, that our whole spirit, soul, and body might be preserved blameless. Hallelujah. Now, the words that I'm speaking, of course, are to, they are to edify, but they're to people that have ears to hear, those who have a heart for God, those who are, you know, endeavoring to get into that boat. That's the only way these words are going to help you. If I'm an intrusion or a nuisance, you know, it won't help you. Praise the Lord. The word engrafted must be received with meekness. Understand what meekness is? Huh? Yeah, not resistance, but if we would receive the word. Now, since we're on the battlefield, know that we have to overcome things to do it. We can't just show up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper, or we'll have to fight the fight, though. Thank you, Lord. If we turn back, no good. We're not in the fight. But if we fight the good fight of faith, we'll lay hold on eternal life. When do we do that? Well, we'll wait till tomorrow. Well, there's no such thing. Y'all know that? That what we call tomorrow, when it shows up, we say today. So today is the day. Yeah, today if you hear his voice. Then harden not your heart. Why is it written that when we hear the word, harden not our hearts? Because we're apt to do it. Right. Now understand that. Then you'll war good warfare. Come on. Don't get hard. Thank you, Lord. Of course, there are those that God hardens. There's nothing they can do about that. But there are those who harden themselves. There's something we can do about that. See? Pharaoh, he raised him up so he could harden his heart. Because he was a vessel fitted to destruction. Us, he's given us a heart after him. Huh? Absolutely. And we have commandment not to harden them. That's by not receiving the word. It goes like this: today if you hear his voice. So that's what it means. Make sure you receive the engrafted word. Otherwise, you'll harden your heart. And again, this is a warfare win. You keep saying that, yeah, because we think the warfare is against our neighbor. I'm going to read what Brother Malone gave to me. We've heard it before. It's just the truth, so we say it again. And the reason we keep saying the truth, because it is the truth, and it's what makes us free. The lies are always going on. And people don't seem to think anything about that. But oh, we tell the truth too much. That can't be.
Amen.
There's no law against this. And with all this deception and corruption, we need to speak the word more and more. Not just me, you. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's part of the arm of God. And our instructions is to take unto us the whole armor, so that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Huh? Take unto you the whole arm of God, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And he is wily. Hallelujah. But for the grace of God, he'd overcome us hands down. Would be nothing for him. We'd be an appetizer. Absolutely. But God, with his great love wherewith he loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. I'm here to encourage y'all. In so doing, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. Hallelujah. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If you would encourage yourself in the Lord your God. So let us be helpers one of another. I encourage you. You encourage me. Huh? Praise the Lord. If we walk together circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, let us redeem the time. The days are evil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Brother Malone's little writing. I like this. Praise the Lord. You know, it's from his own heart. When I was going to school, you know, when we were in grammar and whatever, or when we were reading, part of the evaluation of reading is comprehension. So we'd read it and they say, well, but tell us in your own words. See? In your own words. So all we know about, you know what I'm saying? In your own words. That means it's from you. Praise the Lord. We could get a prepared statement and, okay, well, such and such. Well, say it in your own words. Hallelujah. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross, crucified. For me, he died. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. In your own words. It's true anyway. Just say it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Picked me up out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock. Established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. New song in my mouth. New song in my mouth. Redeemed when my burden of sin was high. Redeemed when my soul was condemned to die. Redeemed for a debt I could not pay. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Redeemed when my burden of sin was high. Redeemed when my soul was condemned to die. Redeemed for a debt I could not pay. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, a very wonderful thing, to be free from sin and have Christ within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful redeemed when my burden of sin was high. Redeemed when my soul was condemned to die. Redeemed for a debt I could not pay. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. That's the song the angels can't sing. It's our charge to sing it from now and forever. Oh, I'll sing it too. I'll sing it when I get to the kingdom. Not if you don't sing it now. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll pray when I get to the kingdom. Not if you don't pray now. For the kingdom of God is within you. It comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Christ liveth in you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let all bondage go. Let deliverance flow. Hallelujah. Shake off the heavy band. Lift up the holy hand. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here it is. It's the day of Pentecost. Around the third hour. We're gathered with one accord. Hallelujah. In the upper room. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're getting hold of God. Glory, glory, glory. In the upper room. In the upper room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we blessed? Absolutely, we are. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Partly in response to Ted Turner's statement about us being losers, but also an expose of one of the wiles of the devil. Well, he's got many. Satan would have us to think that the restraints of living the Christian life is the root of our problem. Well, he get that one over pretty good. It's a lie, but my God, that's, yes, That's one of his go-tos.
Thank you, Lord.
Y'all know that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Satan would have us to think that the restraints of living a Christian life is the root cause of our problems. All right? He then uses that idea to create many of the contentions and strifes that we see today. And he referenced James 4, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you. Of course, it tells us they come not hence from the lusts that war in our members, because we're not following after righteousness. We want to have, but we don't ask. We ask, but we ask amiss to consume it our own lust, which in, if we put it in our own words, we're just not following after righteousness. Or endeavoring to keep ourselves in the love of God.
Amen.
Or remaining in the constraints of Christ's love.
Yes.
We can put it either way. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now,
yes. Thank you, Lord.
I find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me find it for you. All right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody here love my Jesus? Hallelujah. Anybody here love my Jesus? Anybody here that love the Lord? I want to know if you love my Jesus. I want to know if you love the Lord. Sister, did you say that you love my Jesus? Sister, did you say that you love the Lord? I want to know if you love my Jesus. I want to know if you love the Lord. Hey, people, did you say that you love my Jesus? Brother, did you say that you love the Lord? I want to know if you love my Jesus. I want to know if you love the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, all right. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see it. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He sure wrote nice letters. Oh, yeah. He not only wrote them to the Corinthians, he wrote them to us. Love letters. Praise the Lord. Here goes. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord. Brother Sterry expounded on that many times. The terror of the Lord. So it is an element.
Amen.
We know about the love of the Lord, the compassion, the mercy. There's also the terror of the Lord. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give occasion to glory on our behalf, but ye, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Glory in appearance and not in heart. Glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, there's that word beside ourselves. What does that mean? Hallelujah. It is God. It is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your call.
Amen.
So being beside yourself is sort of acting drunk like they did on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That's what being beside yourself is. Huh?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because the opposite, amen. Or whether we be sober is for your cause. It goes for the love of Christ constraineth us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, and one did die for all, that's our testimony. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. They should not live unto themselves. This is what the constraining love of Christ does. It keeps us from living to ourselves. It's not against us. See what he, that's what he's saying here. That's what the devil would have, and we go right along with it. Oh, this is against us, we say. God wants folk that slap me on one side and me turn. This is against me. He wants me to prefer others. He don't want me to get all the bacon. He want me to save some for some. This is against me. See? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, let me go on. In the name of Jesus. But the love of Christ constrains us. Now, that's just the truth. You can take it or leave it. But as much as you receive it, then you can walk in the victory. God's love, it's to keep us from doing what we want to do. That's the constraining. That's the only way we can be saved. We need to be convinced. Hallelujah. That if God's love, the love of Christ, does not constrain us, we won't be saved. No. Praise the Lord. The constraining love of Christ teaches us that we should not live to ourselves. That's the power of Christ's love. We shouldn't try to break free from that. Of course, there's something working in us. We need to acknowledge it. We need to resist it. We don't need to keep going around this mountain. Oh, but he is grouchy this morning. That's against me. Absolutely not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or what anybody does. This Brother James said, Pastor Rice, you know, if somebody had done you wrong, you just, I'll hug you. I said, go ahead and hug me, bro, but no one done me wrong. I hold to that. I hold to that. Praise the Lord. Now, I could expound on that. That means I'm not going to blame you for my shortcomings. I'm not going to blame you for missing the mark. I'm not going to blame you for anything. Huh? No, I'm not.
Hallelujah.
That's what blame is for.
Amen.
Yes. Get us off the hook. That's why if you repent, you have to go by yourself.
Amen.
If you repent and you take along Edie, then you're not going to get not unless your name is Edie.
Hallelujah.
Or if you're going to find some repentance, you're going to have to get before God and say, hey, Lord, I was here. Come on. You know all about it. I want to come clean. I want to be clear. Hallelujah. And as complex and complicated as we are, only God can help us with it. Out of our own wisdom and power, we cannot repent. It's a gift from God. In fact, it's God's goodness that we are required to continue in. If we continue in his goodness. But God will have to give us repentance. And he's faithful. Praise the Lord. That means we come in complete agreement with him and, you know, do away with all the excuses and alibis. If you got excuses and alibis, then you're not looking for repentance. Or if you're going to find it, you'll have to get rid of all of them. Then you can find it. Hallelujah. No matter what your neighbor did, no matter what Brother Stair did, no matter what Brother Rice did, what have you done? That's what it's all about. Glory. Hallelujah. I know it's easy for us to say, if they did right, I could serve God better. Not so. What other people do has no bearing on how well you serve God. Now, understand that. Now, there's lies floating around, you know. You might grab hold of one, but. Huh? Sword, peril. Life, death. And all these things. Persecution. Things past, things present. Powers, principalities. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. So, Angela's grouchy this morning. We can't live holy. Get out of here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See how foolish we are. Now, I live here, If I didn't, you all would tell me different. Yeah, Pastor Rice, we don't do stuff like that. Yeah, but yes, you would. We even tell God, and he sees everything. I'm good, God. It's that person you gave me to cook with. It's them. Praise the Lord. Well, remember that God did. He gave them to you. So you be faithful.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go on in Jesus' name. So we're talking about the constraining love of Christ and how the flesh, the devil, the world try to make us believe it, even tells us. That's the lie that the flesh tells the world. Hey, this is against you. Submission? That's tough. Obedience? No. See? Now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. And if you would war good warfare, you'd find an amen. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. All this, all things common, man, it's, it ain't working out too well. Huh? David said, man, I used to get ice cream every day. He said, they got the best ice cream. Praise God. Well, somebody asked him, said, man, when you came here, did you count the cost? Hallelujah. You know. But that's because he was, you know, he wasn't living in community. So, you know, he didn't have that constraint upon him. He did, but he didn't. He hadn't realized the constraint. If you're in Christ, then there's constraint. And it's that you should not live unto the flesh. That's what the constraining love does. Hallelujah. It's the love of God. God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. Reaches to the lowest head. Hallelujah. The love of God, so rich, so pure. Huh? So strong. It shall ever endure the saints and angels' song. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Are we going to embrace this constraining love? Yeah, I heard one say, yay, Lord. Let us join in and say, yay, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. He then uses that idea that living a Christian life is the root cause of our problem. Thank you, Lord. One would say we don't have any problem. All we need is faith in God. I think that was Shambach. Shambach was a fiery preacher, man. Yeah, he'd stir you up real good. Hallelujah. When I was in Fort Polk, you know, he'd come on, but he'd only be on for 15 minutes. But at 15 minutes, bro, he'd have you fired up. If you had any Christ in you at all, absolutely. And that's the one thing he would always say, we don't have any problem. All we need is faith in God. Hallelujah. Or the faith of God. Faith is not something that comes from us. Faith is a gift from God. As long as we keep that in mind. So that mean that it's something we receive, not something that we deserve, something that we are accountable. Yeah, that's why God requires things of us that he required not of the world. Because he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The faith and the grace that is in Christ Jesus is ours. So he requires certain things of us. Yeah, he constrains us by the love of Christ. But this is for us to acknowledge that Christ is in us. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means. Yeah. Because of ourselves, we're not going to do right. When we submit to the righteous one, then we show the constraint. Constraint is we get out of the way and we say, here am I, Lord. Huh? What would you have me to do? How would you have my face to look this morning? How would you have my voice to sound? How would you have me to present myself? Hallelujah. Should I get beside myself? Praise the Lord. Should I give you glory? Some of us are like the ones that, you know, when we were coming up, the cool ones, you know. Brother, I mean, that was their cause, to be cool no matter what happened. You know what I mean. Y'all, nobody know what I'm talking about. that mean they look above and you know, knowing what's going on about everything, no matter what happens. That cool. Sure. Hey, Daddy-O. Come on. Right? That's how some of us present ourselves. Y'all go ahead and get beside yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Satan wants us to think that God has deprived us of something of value. Mainly doing what we want to do. Men do value that. It's of no good, though. Huh? Now, I know it takes the grace of God to receive that. But we have God's sufficient grace to do it. We don't have an alibi. Say, my God, that's a hard saying. You know, not doing what I want to do. That's a hard saying. Now, we all say that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That's what makes for the problem. Deny yourself, take up your cross. That's a hard saying. Hmm? Yeah, when we're not submitted to the constraining love of Christ, it's a hard saying. It's a hard saying. But as we submit and walk in this constraint, it's an easy yoke. It's a light burden. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm going on in Jesus' name. Mainly doing what we want to do, or being who we want to be, or saying what we want to say. Brother, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, especially saying what we want to say. You know, I exhort you to say, and we won't, you know, say amen. Some won't do that. Praise it. He's still God, though. Y'all ain't going to turn me around. Absolutely not. You won't turn me around. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let the church say, amen. Like you mean it now. A little louder now. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus is the amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So, though these things are so plainly before us, you know, Christ evidently set forth among us, crucified, these truths are. You all know the trouble we have with wanting to say what we want to say. And still we are so reluctant, so stubborn, that not to rise above it. Saying what we want to say is not giving glory to God. It's not being in the constraining love of Christ. Why don't we give it up? Give it up. Or doing what we want to do, simply because God has purchased us. Everybody understand that? We keep wanting to act like we're our own and like it's our business and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, God purchased us and we say, well, God, I know you bought me with not with corruptible things, with incorruptible blood of Christ, but come on, I want my lips to be my own. I don't want to say Christ is in me. I want to say it's his fault. I want to say, hey, it wasn't for Edie. See? We do say it, don't we? Under duress, or do we say it willingly? Praise the Lord. Let's say, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling the truth. Well, Pastor Rice, do you think that once you're done, everybody's going to line up with that 100% today? I don't think so. I'm still not going to take down. Not going to back up. It's still the truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some, the adversary's got a greater hold on than others. We're all subject to his influence. Influence of the world, all that. That's why we war good warfare. Subject to. Not weaker than. We can overcome all that we're subject to. all the wiles of the devil, all the lies of the world. Yeah, we are subject to them, but not.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
And all these things.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, carnal mind. We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Huh? Works of the flesh. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. That's our power, you know. That's why we ought to say it. Why do we choose to say something else rather than, yeah, I'm more than a conqueror over this? You know, I like to dust over Kia off real good. But, you know, she's not the problem. We can say it like that.
Amen.
We have power.
Yes.
But lo and behold, we believe that old flesh more than we believe God. We believe the old seducing spirit. We believe God, but we believe the seducing spirit a little bit more. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Generally keeping us from reaching our full potential. But in truth, it is that type of liberty that Satan wants to impress upon us that creates contentions and strife. He goes to Psalms 2. Praise God. He says the same age-old trick. Of course, all of Satan's tricks are old.
Amen.
But they're effective. Why get rid of them? Come on. Why? I mean, you got some work for you. Don't reinvent the wheel. He said, when I encourage these folk to do what they want to do, he said, man, I have good success. Yeah, when I tell them there's somebody and they know something, he said, I'm a good success. It sure makes me prosper in what I set out to do. Why get rid of it? I'm going to keep using this same old thing. I'm going to convince them that they ought to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, and however they... I'm going to convince them. This is one of my choice weapons. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Of course, he has to have something to work with. What's our victory? Give no place. Give no place. Give no place to the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. How about it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will declare the decree, saith the Lord, for the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day hath I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Just ask me. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Glory, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's the same age-old trick that Satan employed in the Garden of Eden on Adam and Eve. In truth, it is those constraints or restraints that God places upon us is in where we find life and liberty. In truth, it is Satan's lies from the beginning that creates all the tension, stress, envy, and all of the problems from top to bottom. In other words, the world is in rebellion against God.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And it says the sin of witchcraft, and we shouldn't be partakers of rebellion.
Amen.
which means we should submit to the righteousness of God.
Amen.
See?
Thank you, Lord.
The world seen down to the individual daily walk. This applies in the true jungle and in the concrete jungle. Praise the Lord. It does. Praise the Lord Jesus. Ain't got good. So now we'll take time for a few testimonies. Let's see, we got a testimony from Gino. Gino, you here? And we have a testimony from Bakia. And anybody else that want to testify, believe I'll testify. Hallelujah. Brother Driver might want to testify. Praise the Lord.
In the past, the Lord has blessed, I guess, others, I could say, through me, in spite of me. People have been, that's it. But I want to start with this, okay? This is called, I'm not even going to tell you the name of it. I'm just going to read it. You'll know the name of it after I finish it. It says here, I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and also of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made them great. Those who are failures, I have made them failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a person.
Hallelujah.
You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? And this is the name of the poem. I am Habit.
All right.
So please bear with me here. My thoughts are kind of all over the place right now, and I'm just going to pray and ask, Lord, somehow or another, just help me to say something that will glorify you, Lord God, and be of encouragement to the saints. My thoughts are just kind of all over the place right now. But I'm going to try and make this quick, although I don't think it's going to be quick. I guess the Lord first revealed himself to me. I was probably 14 or 15 years old. It was at a banquet at the end of a basketball season. I played in a church league. And at the end of the season, we had a banquet. All the team members went there. Our parents were there. You know, the chaplain from the base was there, et cetera, et cetera. And don't ask me why, other than that it was God. But at the banquet, you know, we were all there. And they asked me to pray, for the invocation. I mean, I'd never done anything like that. And as I began to pray, all I can tell you is that everything blanked out. I mean, just blanked out. And the only person in that room with me at that point was God. And I knew it was God. I didn't know his name or anything, but I knew it was God, you know. And my mother told me some years afterwards, the chaplain asked her, you know, who taught your son to pray like that? I don't even remember what I was saying, but I just knew God visited me then.
Hallelujah.
And we had a conversation. So I went about my business after that, you know, and really never even thought anything of it. Fast forward, that was like 1982 it was, and I was living overseas, and I just started going to church. I hadn't gone to church. I really hadn't. And I just hadn't thought about it. But anyway, I started going to the base chapel, you know, for whatever reason, God just put it on my heart. And my supervisor, Sergeant Nassus, he was a Christian, but you know, there was me, Doug, Sergeant Nasty, K Carol and Tony. The five was on my shift. And Sergeant Nassus, he was ministering to Doug. Okay, because Doug was having all kind of problems. But one day he was talking to Doug, and he wasn't talking to me at all, but I was just within earshot. And I just listened in on what he was saying. But he's talking to Doug about the rapture, okay? And I said, wow, okay. So the next day after that conversation, I think we were second shift then, but anyway, Sergeant Nasty, something happened with his motorcycle, and he didn't get to work, okay, on time. And Doug was freaking out, you know, because Sergeant Nasty the day before had spoken to him about the rapture and all these people missing. And Doug was saying, "Man, no, where's Nasty? Where's Nasty? You know?" And I just played it off like, you know, "Hey, man, it's no big thing." I was acting cool, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the back of my mind, I was like, "Yeah, where is Nasty?" Yeah. You know. And he showed up about an hour late. Okay. And it's like on the inside, whew, man. Okay. And you know, like I said, Sergeant Nasty never said anything to me. I just happened to overhear he and Doug talking. But anyway, that night, Sergeant Nassus, he invited Doug, not me, he invited Doug to a church off base, you know, in a little town near the base. And again, he didn't invite me, but I overheard him invite Doug, and I knew pretty much where, you know, he was inviting him to go. And so I invited myself, you know, and I, you know, I was what, like 19 years old at the time, and so I went. Okay, I went to the church. It was Sergeant Nassus was there. Doug was there. Another one on my ship, Louis, also. Louis went, Puerto Rican guy. Me, Doug, Louis, and Sergeant Nassus. So when they made the invitation at the end of the service, okay, Doug and I went forward. No, and I'm not even saying I was born again at that time, but I just felt compelled to go up. But God began working in my life at that point. I will say that. Okay, He did. And so I, you know, I began going to church, and you know, and so then I left there. I was in the Philippines then, so I left. That was in September, on September 19th, as a matter of fact, of 1982. That's when that happened, September 19th. I never forgot that date. And so I went to New Jersey, but as far as the habit thing, one thing my whole Christian life, okay, I've just been, and God gave me this like 2 or 3 years ago, the letters DNS. So what do D and N S stand for? The D, disinterest. Okay, disinterest. The N, something that we hear all the time, nonchalance, and also neglect. And S, superficial. Okay, God has given me an interest in lots of things throughout my life. Gave me an interest back then, you know, when I was 19, 20 years old, in the piano. That's when I first, and I took up piano for a year, you know. I loved to play baseball growing up, you know, and I had natural talent. I had natural talent with the Spanish language, okay, just different things. But always that neglect, that nonchalance, you know, and that just superficial and not giving my whole heart to anything. And I never excelled at any of them, you know, because of that. And I take that, you know, and apply it to my Christian walk also. Okay, and God just had much mercy on me in spite of me, but I was at a church, Assembly of God Church right off base. This is in New Jersey now, and this is one of the first times that God manifested himself. Well, actually, the second or third time God manifested himself, but we're having a praise service, and the Holy Spirit just came down on me during the service. And what did He tell me? He said to open up yourselves to the brethren. He may as well have told me to jump off the Empire State Building. Man, I cried and I wept and I said, you know, because I've always kept my distance from people. I've always done that, you know, since a youth, okay? And he messed up, like I said, told me to jump off a building. And I cried and I wept. And finally I said, and I'm standing there, you know, in service, you know, a whole bunch of people around me. And I said, no, God, I can't do it. You know, I can't, you know. And that's what he told me, open up yourself to the brethren, okay? And I wouldn't do it, you know? So, yes. So, again, please bear with me. I'm just having a hard time here. So, as far as different things that, you know, well, Timbo, let me go back to that DNS, okay? Disinterest, nonchalance, neglect, and superficiality, okay? Because of that, many times, you know, when God was trying to do things in my life, you know, I just, because of the cost involved, because of the discipline involved, the obedience involved, okay, the suffering involved, I would always do things out of subjection, but to do things with all my heart, okay, I just didn't do it, you know, and I didn't grow, okay, and I could even say that to a great extent to this day, I didn't grow because of that, okay. But God told me to open up myself to the brethren, I didn't do it, and, you know, what was the cost of that? I really can't say, but I'm sure, you know, it's been a great hindrance in my life. Some years later, I was in Spain, you know, and I was at a Christian brother that I met over there. He took me up to a conference up in the northern part of the of Spain, and God told me then, the word he gave me was grow up, okay? Actually, a few years before that, I was living up in Pennsylvania, you know, the command that God gave me, and he manifested himself to me in my apartment where I was living. And although they weren't audible words, the three words that he spoke to me were read, study, and meditate. Okay. And those words were just as, even though they weren't audible, they were just as plain as my speaking right now. You know, he told me to do that. And another time, you know, this was when I was sitting under a prophet in Philadelphia. And actually, this was the man through whom I met Brother Stair, okay? He told all of us, you know, when I baptize you, you know, God's going to speak a word to you, okay? And that's just for you. And as I was coming up out of the water, the word that God gave me was obedience. So all these things, these are different commands that God's given me, and I've just been nonchalant in applying them to my life. I've been, you know, I've been neglectful in applying them to my life and, you know, doing what God wants me to do, you know. So I mentioned earlier how God had manifested himself to me at the banquet, okay? And then when I was at it in the Philippines or with my boss, you know, I went I went to that church, and that's where, you know, I asked God into my life. But I guess the thing that's in my mind right now is that, you know, one result of my nonchalance and one result, a major result of my nonchalance and neglect and superficial interest and disinterest in the things of God and just things of life, period, has been, I've just walked in doubt and unbelief as far as my relationship with God, you know. Even when God manifested himself to me in Philadelphia, and I knew then he took my sins away. Man, I was, you know, he took my sins away. He did, you know.
Hallelujah.
And you know, it was like, you know, just stupid me, you know, superficial me, nonchalant me. It's like, you know, he manifested himself to me a number of times in several times in Philadelphia in a real powerful way like that. And I just never had it in my heart, you know, just to run after him with all my heart, you know. You know, God, what are you doing? What are you trying to say to me? You know, okay, you tell me to obey you. You know what I mean? How am I going to, you know, what do I need to do with this obedience thing? You know, okay. And, you know, you've taken my sins away, and I knew he had taken my sins away, you know. So what now, Lord? Okay, it was like I just had, you know, that this, you know, the nice feelings and everything. And that was all I wanted of God. I just wanted to know that he was with me. Okay, and he was with me. And he, you know, and he blessed me. He, wherever I went, you know, not because of me, in spite of me. No, God blessed me. He blessed me greatly. Okay. And I thank him for that. You know, there's a song that I think it goes, Jesus led all the way, you know. And back in 1992, God gave me scriptures. As a matter of fact, I'll just read it here. It's out of 2 Samuel 7:8, you know. And this was when King David wanted to build the temple. And God told Nathan, I think it was, to tell David, no, you know, he's not going to do it. Okay. And then, he said, I want you to say this to David. And this, the scripture God gave me, and this speaks very well, just how God has, you know, even after he took my sins away, like I said, the shameful part of that is that I was just happy with that. I didn't pursue God like I should have. But he says, now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. Okay, just those words. I took thee from the sheepcote. God took me from Mississippi. He took me with my family to, you know, to Taiwan. Brought me back to Texas, you know, and I was just one day I was just thinking about all this, you know. Took me from Texas to the Philippines, from the Philippines to New Jersey to Philadelphia, and from Philadelphia to a little small 500 people town in the middle of the woods in western Pennsylvania, you know. I mean, but he's been with me, and he's led me all the way, you know. He's led me all the way, you know. You know, he's men of God, you know, that Pastor Anthony, I mentioned, the one through whom I met Brother Stair. You know, one time when I was living in Philadelphia, I don't know why it was, but it was just like a burden. I was overwhelmed. I just need to pray. I need to pray. And you know, the fellowship where I was, we didn't have prayer meetings. And I asked the pastor, Pastor Gary, you know anywhere, nowhere, there's a prayer meeting. And the next week, he said, yeah, there is somewhere. There's a Pastor Anthony, but I want to warn you, he's kind of tough. And he was, you know, he's a prophet. He's a prophet of God, you know. And, you know, and so, you know, I think that was in 1986, and I was there for 6, 8 months, 10 months or so. And then God just put it in his heart. One Friday night I came and, you know, he said, you know, the Lord told me, you know, you need to be part of this fellowship, you know, and God led me. He led me there. Okay. You know, a few years later, we formed a Christian community in the western part of the state, you know, and that's when Pastor Anthony heard Brother Stair. And so, you know, all of us, you know, we met Brother Stair through him. This is in the late 80s. Okay. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was, you know, he separated himself from Brother Stair, okay, and after that he died like, oh, I guess a year later, a year or two later, and so, you know, you smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter, you know, and let me say this is kind of an aside, but there was a Christian community, in western Pennsylvania in the middle of the woods. But that community fell apart, I mean, big time, you know. People left, everyone left at the end. It was me, Brother Tom, Brother Mike. It was just the three of us, and there had been probably 30 or 40 of us, you know, at the height. You know, it was a beautiful piece of land. You know, God blessed it. We, you know, had garden, everything here, okay. We had there, I mean, not as big as this, you know, but... bunch of city folks, and God blessed it there. But why did God destroy that, bring down that community? Because of sin. Because of sin. S-I-N. Okay. And, you know, were we perfect? No, but as long as we, you know, we followed the Lord and, you know, we were seeking after God, God blessed us. Okay. And God, he did. But when we left sin in the camp and all kind of garbage, didn't bear well. But anyway, pastor died, okay, and like I said, us three brothers left. And I moved to a town a little bit, you know, out of the way, about half hour from there. And another man of God, as a matter of fact, the man of God that the Lord had sent to Pastor Anthony to try and get him to repent, okay? And so, you know, God led me to him. And it was funny because before, just to show you how God does things, before he, before Pastor Anthony died, I actually, the other brother's name was Pastor Tim, as a matter of fact. And I tried to contact Pastor Tim, and I had his number, and I called him. And for some reason, because it wasn't God's timing, I could never get through to him. You know, when I would try and call him, it was like this number is disconnected or whatever, you know. And yet when Pastor Anthony died, I tried to contact Pastor Tim again, and my call went straight through, you know. And God led me to him, and he received me, okay. And I sat under him for a number of years, okay. And again, this, you know, just how God has received me through the body of Christ, through his servants, you know. And some years later, you know, Pastor. And let me say this about blessing the men of God. This is another aside. Pastor Tim, some things happened, and he left from there. He actually stopped ministering, you know, and he and his wife, they went back down to Tennessee. So I guess in the interim, while he was, you know, getting all the stuff together to leave, one night I was in my car and I was driving about, oh, I guess 10, 15 minutes from his house. And I had $70 in my pocket. I'm talking about blessing the men of God here, okay? I had $70 in my pocket. And I'm driving, and the Lord said, go bless Pastor Tim, okay? And I wasn't mad at Pastor Tim. I really wasn't at all, you know. But it's like the money I had in my pocket, I was going to give to the church where I had decided to go, okay? And I just reasoned in my mind as I'm driving in my car, you know, like I said, I was about 5 or 10 minutes from his house. Well, no, I'm gonna give this money to wherever I was going. I think it was a CMA church. And the Lord spoke to me very harshly. I said, go bless Pastor Tim. And when I reasoned in my mind, no, my heart smote me. Okay. I mean, my heart is like, oh God. Okay. That David heart smote him when he cut off the tail of Saul's skirt. When I reasoned my mind, while I would not bless the man of God, my heart smote me. And I said, okay, Lord. And I went over to his house and knocked on his back door. You know, hey, what's going on, brother? You know, what are you doing here? And I said, hey, Pastor, you know, I just wanted to bless you, you know. And God blessed me for that, you know, because I blessed the man of God. Okay. And even though, you know, he had some troubles and he actually left, okay, still he was God's servant, you know. And God told me to bless him. And I obeyed God, and I did it, okay. So that's just, I don't know, something in my mind. But what else here? Yeah. The difficult thing for me, I was going to start with this, but I was going to say, you know, the difficult thing for me about getting up here and speaking right now is that, you know, God has long suffered with me 40 plus years. That's a long time. God has long suffered with me 40 plus years. 40 plus years. How many people have I seen, and I've heard it said right here many times, men better than me, much, much better than me. And yet God has me here. You know, men that had talent, intellect, whatever. You know, money, position, they're gone. And God has me here.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing have I done to deserve to be here at all. I swear that God knows I haven't. I've not done anything at all. Yeah. And but the difficult thing for me far speaking is that, and then some things I could say I'm not gonna say, but you know, My Christian walk in many ways has been shameful to the nth degree. It's just been shameful, you know. Scripture says by now, you know, you ought to be teachers, but you have need of, you know, someone teach you. That's moi. that's me, you know. But, you know, God's long suffered with me, you know. And another difficult thing is that, you know, and this is the difficult thing about pastors preaching. What does he get on us all the time? All the time. Give God the praise. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. All the time. What have I not done for 40 years? Giving God the praise. Giving God the glory. Okay? Because you were speaking a little bit ago about, you know, the cool ones. You know? And I had a saying when I was a teenager. You know? And, you know, even though, you know, like I mentioned earlier that I've always kept myself at arm's length from people, I interacted with people, but no one ever got close to me, and I made a point of that, you know. And, I had a saying, was, ain't nothing but a thing, you know. I was, you know, but that was nonchalance coming out of me. That's all that was nonchalance. And that saying, in that spirit of nonchalance, has affected me just throughout my life, you know. I was going to say, you know, the difficult thing about me speaking today was that I know that, you know, it's going to make me look like a, but whatever, nothing good. And then I'm going to have to, you know, God told me many years ago, you know, I need to be house to go. I must increase, you must decrease. Okay. But I haven't done that. Okay. But I bless God. You know, I bless God. And I know God is able even now to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. You know, the longest ruling king in the history of Israel, was Manasseh. He ruled 55 years. Okay, and we, you know, we've heard recently. That's why it blessed me when pastors spoke of Manasseh. Okay, that's why it blessed me. 55 years, and, you know, he killed Isaiah, you know, he killed many of his own people, you know. He just brought much bloodshed to Israel, and yet look what God did. Okay, look what God did to that man, okay. You know, Brother Sterry used to say, you know, sin, compared to me, y'all are pikers. You know, look what God did to that man. Okay, God bless him. You know, God chose him.
Hallelujah.
Okay, God chose him. He was God. You know, and like I said, I haven't done anything. You know, God took my sins away, and yet I just, you know, and he did. He took my, you know, gave me his righteousness, and yet it's almost like, well, so what? I deserve that. No, you know, absolutely not. And, you know, absolutely not. And yet, again, you know, he has me here. You know, even to this day, God has done things, you know. And again, I've done some, you know, I've just, and again, I don't need to say what, it's not really necessary. But I've just done, you know, over the years, before and since I've been a Christian, some very shameful things, you know. And yet God's mercy, you know, and, you know, is, you know, the word I like to use, you know, and God, he hasn't given me a revelation of it now, but the word I like when describing his mercy and his goodness to me is a wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, you know, if you've ever, for those, you know, parents, you know, you've seen kids, they can, you know, get a flower, you know, get a insect, you know, see the clouds, see whatever, and they're just enthralled, you know, they're just amazed, their eyes are wide open with wonder, you know, at just nature and just that life in general, you know, and there was a time like that, you know, there was a time when I was like that concerning the things of God, inspired me, you know, even, you know, inspired me, you know, and so, you know, again, God has led me all the way. He has, you know. And, you know, he He's taken away my sins. He's given me eternal life, but I've not esteemed these things, and I haven't. No, and I say that to my shame. He's given me, but you know, and it's really funny, you know. Like I said, one of the first commands God gave me in New Life Assembly, that's what it was to open up yourself to the brethren. And I wouldn't do it. I absolutely would not do it because I just had these preconceived notions what it would mean. And I didn't do it. And yet all these years, whether here, whether at the church in Philadelphia, whether the church in Du Bois, you know, they've always been small fellowships, and God has always put me in position, you know, where even though I was single, you know, I was still accountable to other Christians, okay? Not living in a community, you know, I wasn't as accountable as I am here, but God always made sure that I was accountable, you know. And then another proof of his love towards me, and don't ask me why I would do this, you know, you would think I was a sadomasochist or something. But for years, I would pray all the time, Lord, keep your hand heavy on me. I would pray that, you know. And the thinking in the back of my mind was that if God didn't, I'm gone, you know. And did he? Oh, yes, in spades. God has kept, you know, his hand very heavy on me.
Hallelujah.
You know, and to the point, you know, it's like, God's hand has been very heavy on me for years. And it was funny, Sister Carol Cornish. It was some years after that. I guess God must have shown her or something. But, you know, because, you know, the saints would hear me pray that, you know, when we'd be praying. Again, these are small fellowships. And she came up to me and said that, you know, brother, you know, God has shown me, it was something to this effect, you know, that, you know, his hand is heavy on you, you know. And like I said, living on community, you know, you know, times I break down in the middle of winter, in the middle of the mountains, you know, in the middle of the, you know, snow or foot of snow, just all kinds of things. Things that happen here, but this is up north, you know, in the mountains, you know. And that was part of the experience God had me, you know, had for me. And so I really don't have too much else to say. Like I said, I bless God. Now I just pray that somehow maybe somebody somewhere will get something out of this. But you know, we serve a good God, you know, and truly his long suffering is our salvation. Truly his long suffering is our salvation. And you know, and y'all know, let's not despise one another, you know. I'm not going to mention, I'll just mention pastor, but there are a number, you know. All these years, you know, there have been different, you know, not a whole bunch, but there have been, I'll mention another, Brother Spencer. I'll just use him for an example, okay? You know, none of us despise our pinky or our little toe or our nose or our ear, no member of our body. You know, we would die rather than lose any member of our body. And God has placed us here with one another to suit for his purpose, for his glory, for our good, okay? And, you know, pastor tells us all the time, you know, strive to not know anything among yourselves, you know, but Jesus Christ, you know. And, you know, and we can learn from, we can grow, we can get things from one another because that's the way, you know, just like, you know, The without your little toe, you're gonna fall. Your whole body's gonna fall because that affects your balance. Okay, but I mentioned Brother Spencer. What did Brother Spencer do? You know, he testified, but he used to go also around his singing all the time, And he convicted me. Because I don't know if any of you remember, but Brother Steer admonished us once to learn hymns. Amen. And to sing them, you know. And, you know, that's just not, you know, some Joe Schmo off the, you know, that's the man of God. And if we obey him as obeying God, you know, God will bless us. You know, God will bless us, you know. And we have one another, you know, not for our destruction, but for our benefit, for our growth. And when we despise anyone, and it's easy to do because we do it. I've done it. Maybe not despise, but just get angry and, you know shun and different things like that. When we do that to one another, you know, we're cutting off our nose to spite our face, you know, and it's foolish. So I just bless the Lord, and I bless the Lord for all of y'all, you know, and for this body and for his goodness. And yeah, so that's it, Pastor.
All right, Brother Gino, God bless you. God bless you.
Well, let me get this thing, brother. You done?
All right. Thank God for your testimony. Hallelujah. All right, Bakia, it's your turn. Thank God for. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brother says glad to be here with us. Yeah, the way he puts it is, my God, I don't deserve to be here after all that I've done. Isn't that a nice way to put it?
That's a nice way to put it. Thank you, Lord. It's the truth.
Hallelujah.
Help me, Lord.
Help her, Lord.
I'm smiling now. Thank you, Lord. Help me to say this the way you would have me to say it. My mind is all over the place, but a good all over the place. I just can't. I'm in awe of what God does every day, even though I expect it. It's still awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't wake up like this. I woke up in a very, very bad way. And I don't know how to describe it except for that it was like a complaining spirit. I'm so angry about everything. I'm tired of feeling pain. I'm tired of just all the things that I should be giving God praise for. But I couldn't shake that feeling. So I go to prayer. Couldn't shake that feeling. I left with it. I said, I just felt ashamed, but I'm in the office. Pastor Rice is coming. I'm waiting for him to come. And every time I get like this, I believe God knows what he sends an enforcement. I don't know how to describe it except for, you know, like when loose leaf paper came out and you graduated from grammar school or whatever and you're in high school, you know, you go from the composition notebooks to the loose leaf notebooks, and they made these reinforcements because you would be clumsy and drop your book and your notes wouldn't stay in there and it'd be a whole mess. So they said, oh, let's make money off of these reinforcements. But I look at it in a different way about what a reinforcement is for me here.
Amen.
But it's the same concept. So I'm at the office and I'm grumpy and I'm not making any headway. But this is not the first time God did this. So I knew, but I don't always receive it as such. I still want to stay in my way. I don't get anywhere with it. But the Pastor Rice comes in, he said, praise the Lord, Bakia, like he always does. Because I know he's going through the same thing. We all are going through the same thing. Same fight, same.
Amen.
But contrary to that, he always comes in with a spirit that's encouraging to me. So he said, praise the Lord, Bakia. And I said, praise the Lord. I thought I was... And he said, oh, come on, you could do better than that. And I said, in my heart, I said, I know it. Why am I? Help me, Lord. That was the first reinforcement. It's a small thing, but it changed my spirit immediately because the spirit that was on him wasn't trying to hear that like I was. But he didn't know. He just came in being Pastor Rice. So I said, thank you, Lord. And I was still struggling. So we went on and listened to voicemails. Second reinforcement, we heard from all of the voicemails, bless me. But I mean, God has things in place that just help when you need that, when you just... Anyway, I think it was Brother Hope. Now, I heard Brother Pastor Rice pray about hearing about him, you know, where he is and what's going on with him. So he called. And you could tell that I couldn't understand fully his message because he doesn't always say it fully, but he definitely said, I was in a dark place, but the Lord, he brings us through. Second reinforcement. So my spirit kept changing. I said, yes, Lord. I said, that's what I need to do, but I get overwhelmed with not talking right. I don't try to share it to anybody else when I'm not talking right. I always say it to myself, and I just don't speak the right things. I want to complain. So that was the second reinforcement, and I was like, oh, yes, Lord, he's right. You are right, Lord. It changes things when you talk differently. And I know this, but I just get overwhelmed with not talking right sometimes. So we listened to the message. We heard Brother Hope. Then Brother Jeremiah's calls. And he's talking about how the Satan has you heavy. You don't want to give God the glory. You don't want to talk right. You don't. When he wants to call, he doesn't, because he lets that spirit get on him and prevent him from calling. And just third enforcement, encouragement. Just like,
hallelujah.
So I just want to give God the glory,
hallelujah,
because he gives it to us all, but I just want to talk about it today. But I know he gives it to us all. He gives us little jewels of things when you're just getting overwhelmed, because Satan is crafty. He overwhelms you, especially when you give him space and you don't talk right and you don't edify God and you don't say, yeah, I'm in pain, Lord, but thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Brother Jeremiah was the third reinforcement. I said, look at God. He usually just sends one and I'm okay, but he knew I needed three today. He knew I needed three. And it reminded me of that time that I told this before, but it reminded me of when he sent a reinforcement the first time when I was going through trouble with my eye. I woke up and it was looking crazy and I didn't understand, but I needed reinforcement then, because I have faith in, because I know that God gave it to me and I use it. But this time, God knew I was overwhelmed with fear of what's happening. Am I going blind? I just all kind of say I was letting Satan in and not talking right. And so he used Pastor Rice again as reinforcement, because, like I said, we meet at the office for voicemails. And it's always around 8, maybe a little later, depending on. But this day, he came to Maple Ridge. I said, he never comes to Maple Ridge. And I said, but God knew I needed a reinforcement, because I was fearful. But so, I thank the Lord, he's so good. I knew I was going to be crying like this, because I was in the office crying after he left, and I was thinking about it, like, oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't deserve it, but I'm so thankful that God is faithful with all that he does with us. Help me to rejoice in it. And Sister Diane asked me, I was going home, I was going home to use the bathroom, right? And I was coming back. I said, let me get to the office, because I got to tell Pastor Rice, I got to give the testimony. She said, Sister Makia, what's your song for today? And I had nothing, because I was just all over the place. I had to pee. I needed to go home and get something. I wanted to come back on time. So I said, when I came here, I said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I know she asked me that because she needed a reinforcement. Bless you, sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the reinforcements of my brothers and sisters. And thank you for bringing me here. Hallelujah. See? Thank you, Lord. That's it. Give glory to God. And I thank him that I can have in testimony. And I thank you that he brings these things to my remembrance. And the devil, I had one the other week, more lengthy, but the devil, I let him in. And because I'm be feeling pain, I just have trouble. But that's not a reason to do that, because you overcome that way. And overcome my way. So that's it. Thank you, Lord. Y'all know I have trouble with the speaking, but
hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise,
thank you, Lord.
His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. His mercy
Lord knows the way we take. He knows what we have need of. And he gives us what we need when we need it. He's always on time. Of course, you know, I'm encouraged by all these things. You know, God knows I need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Brother Edward, would you pray for us? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, God, thank you, Father. You brought us again to another Pentecost, Lord. And we've had so many of these, Lord God, it seems like. And Father, again, here we are. And looking in the natural, God, it just seems like nothing is happening.
Amen.
And Lord, but we know, and we believe, Lord God, that as we heard last night, you designed it this way.
Amen.
You designed it this way to try us, to see what's in our hearts, Lord God, to see who would stand in the waiting. And Lord God, I thank you for your divine operation that goes on day to day, as Sister Bakia just described, Brother Gino, every one of us, Father God, that you use these things, Lord God, along the way to keep us in the way, because right now, Father, I kind of feel like, well, it's kind of like Job, where I kind of hear the spirit of hell telling us, just curse God and die. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. All things continue as they were. Seems like these Passovers, these Pentecosts, these feast days, they seem like they just come and go. But we know different, Lord.
Truth, Lord.
We know different because, first of all, your word tells us different. And that's what we're holding on to. We believe the promise, no matter what we see or don't see. And Father God, I'm greatly encouraged, Lord God, by the reality, Lord God, that that you told us that it would be this way.
Hallelujah.
And you told us that so that we would not be offended. And so that when the time came and we actually see these things come to pass, we wouldn't give up.
Hallelujah.
And we wouldn't turn back.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord God, we're going to stand because you are making us to stand.
Thank you, Lord.
And faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have hope.
Yes, Lord.
And it's the evidence of things not seen. So we don't see the things that we have read about in times past so much like they used to, and this and that and this, Father God. But one thing we have is we have what you've given us, and that's faith in God. We know that your word is true. We know that you have spoken. You will build your church.
Hallelujah.
You will do it, and you are doing it, Father. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what we don't see or what we don't experience. God, you told us, Jesus, because you said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? And so here we are. Here we are. And God, we also know even by experience that these feast days, Lord, they don't just come and go.
Amen,
no, they don't. You do many things. Many things that we don't, most of the time, we don't see right away.
Amen.
They're not clearly evident, but yet they are very evident because what manifests between the feast days, between one and the next one, Father God, we know that you did something and you are moving.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you are moving, Lord. And so my prayer, Father God, is to help us to hold on to the one thing or the three things that are left: faith, hope, and charity.
Hallelujah.
And help us to, Father God, strengthen these things that remain, Lord, so that we can, so that we will keep fighting, as we were encouraged to do last night. We're just going to fight, and we're going to fight, and we're going to fight. Because, thankfully, we have nowhere else to go.
Amen, brother.
Father God, we don't have a plan B. We don't have a contingency plan. We don't have a backup plan.
Hallelujah.
And we don't want one. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. All of our eggs are in one basket. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, them spirits that tell us that nothing's changing, just give up. No, that spirit is like one of the foolish women. They speak as the foolish women. We're not going to curse you, Lord God, and die. We're going to bless you and live.
Hallelujah.
Because your word is truth, Lord. So I know you're even doing things right now.
Even now.
Even now.
Hallelujah.
Whether we can, as Pastor told us again last night, we see through a glass darkly.
Hallelujah.
Even though we don't see clearly like you see, but we know one day we will see you as you are. We will see you as you are, Lord. And that's our hope, and that's what gives us the strength to keep going.
Amen.
Go on. So, Father God, thank you for this day. Don't know what you're going to do in it, but you're going to do something. And you're already doing something, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray you keep us and help us, Lord God, to remember, just abandon everything. Everything except faith in you.
Hallelujah.
And your word. And help us to go on and wait until our change comes. We thank you, Father. We ask you for this, and we bless you for it, because we know you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Edward, for praying for us. Okay, we hope for that which we see not. We wait patiently for it. And God is in the midst of his people all the time, even now, moving upon our hearts. Let us remember that it's the same affliction. Don't think that it's different with you. It's not different with you. It's not different with me. But we can rise above the storm. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on, once you get above the clouds, it's all right. So that's what we do. We have grace for this, saint. Hallelujah. We can soar like the eagle. Hallelujah. So we bless God for having us here this time. Every confession of our unworthiness and God's goodness is a plus, especially when it's given honestly and wholeheartedly. Anytime you tell God you're worth nothing, he likes that. Huh? We're reluctant to do it, but it's the truth anyhow. Praise God. Undeserving, inadequate, insufficient. But our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. We are complete in him. But yeah, we like to say how good we are and how we peel taters better than the other. It'd be best if we say, I'm undone. Have mercy. Now, Kurt was telling me about, who was it? Celeste's uncle, Paris. Paris, a downright heathen. Well, one time he went over it. We had a falling out. He said, F your Jesus. That's the kind of person he is. So Kurt said something about, well, maybe God will save Paris. And then he said, why would God save Paris? I laughed at that because that's what we think. But why would he save me? Why would he save you? Huh? That's what old Joshua said when God saved Manasseh. He said, why would God save Manasseh? Why don't he kill him? Huh? Well, we just need to put that on the wear. Hallelujah. Why he would care for me. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Glory, glory. Lord bless you, saints. Let's continue in the feast. Maranatha, the Lord is coming.